I want to look at verse 6 to begin with in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. And I want to preach on the way back home. And she's left out of Bethlehem, Judah, and went down to Moab. Her husband, her sons have died down there. And they didn't die down there of the fever either, I don't think. I think they died under the chastening hand of God. And so here, and not only that, of course, there was a great accomplishment there because Ruth come into the picture. And Ruth was the grandmother, I think, of King David or something close. She was in the royal line. And a Moabite wasn't even supposed to be able to enter the house of God. But see, grace makes a difference. Neither was I supposed to. But bless his name, grace. Had we got what we deserved, we'd be in hell. Amen. But God took all of our sin and laid it on Jesus. And he gladly bore that. I get talking about this, I get emotional.
Amen.
But can you imagine all that filth and all that persecution that all was because of our sins? He became our substitute, died for me. Folks, we ought to be the most grateful people in all the world to have had the privilege to hear the gospel and the Holy Spirit to convict us and bring us to himself. So may God help us this afternoon. But verse 5 gives the account of the death of her two sons. Her husband's already died. And in verse 6, notice that word, it starts with then. That's an important word right there. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Now, I want you to notice this. This is interesting. I just saw that. I hadn't seen that clearly. He gives the account of the death of Mahlon and Chilion. I think that's pronouncing them right. I don't do too good with Old Testament names. Then. In other words, she had already been struck hard because she said over here that the Lord had dealt with her. Now, if you can get out of fellowship with God and God not come after you, you got a problem. He's never let me do that. And I'll tell you, when he comes to get you, he'll come home with you. So here it said, then, after the death of these two boys, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. She's had enough of Moab. She's had enough of the world. And she wants to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. That's where her inheritance was. And go back. And of course, God had purposed that. And it says here, in verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return unto Judah, unto the land of Judah. So how did it start? It started by her hearing. God made sure she heard. And the news out of Bethlehem, Judah was good, that God had visited them and had given them bread. And you know what? When God begins to visit a place, he's going to do something. I think about that meeting I was talking about at Bumpus Mills. That really wound up. Bumpus Mills was just a stopover for me. Then I went back into the preaching, traveling and preaching. And Brother Lafferty had started a mission out of the church there down at Dover. So those that wanted to follow the teaching of the Bible and all went with him. And that's where New Testament came from. So that was, God always works His purpose, people. And so things that happen that seem bad, often they're good. Have good results. And so I just pray that that'll be the case here with this meeting that's coming up here shortly. But I just hadn't caught that. Then she arose. Why did she arise? Because she had heard, and not only that, but her two sons, all she had left, died. Folks, we don't die except on God's schedule. Now, it seemed like the death of her husband wasn't enough to do it. But when these two boys is gone, and all of a sudden all she had left was two Moabite girls. The Bible said, then she arose and headed back toward Bethlehem, Judah. I would love to hear that God had paid visitation on Olmstead. And it saved some people and reclaimed some people. Amen. That's my prayer. Amen. So it said here she had heard. So somebody was carrying news. I don't know exactly who, it doesn't say. But she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people. I say to you that's here now, I know this is not the as crowd as big as what you used to have, but God works all things after the counsel of His own will. And let me say this, don't get discouraged. God knows what He's doing. And so she went back to the country of Moab. And as she, of course, traveled along, finally Orpha had left her. And it's just her and Ruth. And so the Bible tells us that they came into the... they had come into to Bethlehem, verse 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? Now the devil will tell you you won't be received, but how glad the people at Bethlehem was to see Naomi. And I'll tell you, anybody that's right with God is going to rejoice when backsliders come home. And when they begin to rejoice over that, there's going to be sinners saved. See, we don't see much of that, don't hear much of it anymore, but it can be. So here, the Bible said they were moved about them. It was a moving scene when they saw Naomi. One thing was no doubt that 10 years or so in Moab had taken its toll on her. I think she was a beautiful woman, but it had taken its toll. And you know, backsliding or sin will take its toll on you. And so, and you notice something else it says about this. So verse number 20, she said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord hath brought me home empty. It's God that brought me. I'm back. He hath afflicted me. You know, isn't it bad that we have to be afflicted? That some kind of a what we'd call a tragedy has to come in our life before we listen to the Lord? There's a lady that I pastored in Marion, Kentucky, and her son-in-law now is preaching. I baptized him at Crane. But she had a testimony, what that testimony that lady had. Her first husband got killed. I think he worked in the woods. And left her a widow with several children. And she fell into some immorality. I've heard her tell it. It would melt your heart. And she said that that they was having a revival at Seven Springs Missionary Baptist Church. Brother M.W. Hall was there. And she said, I had quit going to church because she felt like there's no hope. And she said that during that Bible, said I would stand there and I knew I ought to be there at the church getting right. And she said, one day I could take it no more. And she went down and went before the church and confessed her immorality. The church gladly forgave her. And I forget how many people were saved after that. That meeting broke wide open. Sometime it'll be one sin, it may be something else that holds a revival up. And she got right, of course, went back to the church and God sent a revival. Folks, those things could happen now. That was back in the early 50s. But she blessed me. It was one of the sweetest ladies. I was driving 50 miles each way to pastor a church. Two small children. A wife. And every Sunday, if somebody didn't ask us to their house for lunch, she'd always do it. She'd come by and say, has anybody asked you home? I said, no. She said, you come to my house. And her husband, they loved to have us. And God mightily used her. After she got right. Folks, we serve a God that's not hard.
Amen.
He loves us. Sometimes I don't understand why or how, but He does. May God break our hearts and help us to see that. Fall at His feet and praise Him. For His grace, His mercy. So Naomi's back. And of course she gives, you ought to read all those verses. She said, the Almighty hath dealt with me very bitterly. Back up there, she said, the Almighty has afflicted me. Boy, I wish I could find a stray dog or something and give him this stuff I've got and take him and shoot him so he wouldn't suffer. But no. But anyway, here, you know, and so she's returned. And Naomi returned, Ruth and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her. She returned out of the country of the Moabites. And they came to Bethlehem. Now notice this phrase here. In the beginning of barley harvest. What is revival but harvest? Revival is harvest time. Here Naomi came back. And of course Ruth also was in the lineage, the purpose in it. But when she did, it began a harvest. When sinners that are saved, part of a church and they're backslid, when they get right, it's harvest time. Harvest time. So she had come back at the right time, and no doubt she received a greeting she didn't expect. In chapter 2, now here's another thing. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now we're beginning to see God's purpose in it. Boaz was the kinsman redeemer. And you know that kinsman redeemer is an important subject to study sometime. In other words, he was in the lineage, but there was one before him, but he wasn't the right one. But Boaz told him, said, if you serve as a kinsman redeemer, you'll have to also redeem Ruth, the Moabitess. And he said, I can't do it, said, it'd mar my inheritance. Oh, the how God was working, His hand was moving. And so what do we have out of that? God still had a purpose for her. And I'll tell you, if you're saved, he's got a purpose for you. So Naomi had a kinsman. And so here Ruth says to her, now notice in verse 2 of chapter 2, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears after him in whose sight I shall find grace." Boaz is a type of Christ, our kinsman redeemer. And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter. Go, my daughter." And so here you see the restoration that's being made. And so I tell you, there's a lot more here than I had time to study out, but maybe I'll give you something and stir you up to want to study it. But this is a great chapter for revival. You have backsliding, you have return, then you have the kinsman redeemer's part, and on you go with it. So what I'm saying, it's not hopeless. There's been a few times when I felt like it's hopeless for me to ever be able to reestablish a fellowship with God. But it wasn't. See, when she heard, she made a move. She made that move toward Bethlehem, Judah. And she started. And she went. And where does she wind up but Bethlehem, Judah? Well, that's where we always wind up, where God would have us. So I tell you what, for devotional time, it'd be wonderful, this little book, to study it. Now today, especially this message this afternoon, I've read this many times, but I didn't have a lot of time, but God showed me some things I hadn't seen. And that always thrills my soul when God opens up something to me that I hadn't seen before. So this would make you a real good family devotion or personal devotion to study the book of Ruth. Of course, you know how it ends up. You know, Boaz and Ruth had a baby, and so Ruth was rewarded here. But I like the last part of this. Here it says in chapter 4, verse 15, verse 14, "And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel." God hadn't shut you out. That ought to make a person awful happy, shouldn't it? Amen. God hadn't shut her out. "And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life." Notice who he was. See, Boaz restored the lineage of Elimelech and of Mahlon and Chilion. And it said, here, "A nurser of thine old age, to thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it." Practically the last scene that we see, of course, it gives the lineage. But what do we see? We see Naomi the backslider that has been restored. Now, I mean, she'll have her through Elimelech, she will have a lineage. And she does. Because this is the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's surprising how many things are buried in the Bible that I've read over through years and didn't see. Amen. And I'm sure I'm not going to see all of them. But God showed me some stuff in this today. I'll do some more work on that. But she's, how did it end up? That's where it ends up with real backsliders when they repent. Get right. They'll they'll find out that God's ready to forgive. Plenteous in mercy. I like that term. I think that's in Ephesians, maybe, plenteous in mercy. So I hope you got something out of this afternoon. It'll be worth staying over. And I hate to be in the pulpit when my nose begins to give way. All right. God bless you. I appreciate everything you've done. It's been such a joy to be here with you today. And I'll be talking to Brother Jim and some. I'm really interested to see how this meeting goes. And because I know you can't have a revival if you want one. But it'll cost you. You'll have to lay aside a lot of things we do all the time and get down to the business of prayer and beseeching God to come and do what we can't do for ourselves. Pray for me as I have these appointments, more coming in, and we want to stay busy. And I'll tell you, when I first get up in the morning, sometimes I don't feel like I want to be busy. But it don't take but a few minutes, and it's over with, and I'm off for the day. But I appreciate the Olmsted Church, your faithful support, and all it's done.